This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com coming to you on this 5th day of May 2010. Today I'm talking with Melissa Short, an Australian activist who is helping to organize a petition called Leave the Net Alone, which is seeking to stop the Australian government's compulsory internet filtering system. The petition can be viewed and printed out from thecrowhouse.com/savethenet.html. Melissa Short, thank you for joining me today on the Corbett Report.
Thank you for having me, James.
Well, Melissa, the Australian ISP filtering plan is something that we've talked about previously on this program, most notably in episode 82, Goodbye Australia. But for those who are not aware of the scheme, why don't we set the table by bringing everyone up to speed on what is being planned and how far along the government is in implementing it?
Well, they're a little bit sketchy with their dates at the moment. There has been some reports in the press recently that they actually have this on hold for some time. However, they are hoping to implement it by the end of the year.
Exactly. And what exactly are they hoping to do? What will this look like once it's in place?
This will serve to censor certain web pages that they deem inappropriate or that are refused classification in Australia. And what that includes hasn't actually been determined, and nor will it be available to the public.
Exactly, but we have seen in some of the media run-up to this and the debates that have taken place some egregious examples of things that have been added to this list, which was leaked by WikiLeaks earlier on, including a dental office in Queensland, I believe, that was supposedly tied to the Russian mafia or something along those lines, and some ridiculous examples, and I think everyone understands at a certain level how this can be used to censor vast swaths of the internet that the government deems inappropriate for whatever reason. So quite rightly, this has incensed vast swaths of Australian society and people who as a nation have historically been opposed to censorship and repression of various types. So we have seen pushback on this proposal from a number of groups in a number of different ways. Tell us the history of the petition that you're promoting and how this came about.
Okay, well, when the proposal was announced, like many other Australians, I looked for a petition I could sign and support, and I did find two online petitions at the time, which I signed, and then I shared the links for those petitions on social networking sites like MySpace and Facebook. And then, much to my horror, I became aware that online petitions are actually ineffective. So the House of Representatives do not accept online petitions, and that poses a big problem, because the House of Representatives are the House in Parliament that are set to introduce this legislation. So they're the House that has the power to act on whether internet censorship passes through or not. So the petitions that the House of Reps will accept are on paper, needs to be a real signature, and it needs to comply with a bunch of standing orders. So I emailed the creators of those two online petitions to inform them, and after some time, one of them did get back to me, and he was quite uninterested about doing a legal version. And at this stage, those online petitions were going viral on sites like Facebook, and they were gaining thousands of signatures in just a short time. So, as I'm sure you can imagine, watching that happening, watching well-meaning people falsely believing that they're signing a petition against internet censorship and it really means nothing, was very, very frustrating. So I then contacted several organisations that had expressed their condemnation of the proposal, just to ask if they would consider or if they already had plans to roll out a legal petition that was addressed to the House of Representatives, and the response I got was no. So given that I knew how many Australians rejected this internet censorship and that numerous groups had formed online to oppose it, I decided to do some homework on drawing up a petition and to see what would be involved. And once I confirmed that the petition was legal and in standing order, I released it with the help of sites like Waking Giant, The Crow House, Love for Life, and that's pretty much why I began the petition.
Right. Well, this is a good learning opportunity, not only for myself, but for the audience at large, I'm sure, to better understand how the petition process works in Australia. And as you state, this is a petition that is in line with the House of Representatives rules and is in compliance with standing orders that apply to petitions. So to be clear, this is not one of those internet petitions that get signed anonymously and count for nothing. This is an official petition that will be lodged with the Australian government. So explain for people what that difference is specifically and what types of procedures are in place for submitting this petition.
Okay, well, first of all, the Petitions Committee reviews the petition, has a look, make sure that it's in compliance with those standing orders. Now, if it is and it's a straight pass, it goes straight through to the House of Representatives at the next available sitting and is then presented. also, prior to that, they will talk to the relevant ministers about their comments and ask for comments from them, and then they'll be published. And then once this is actually presented to the House of Representatives, it then gets recorded in Hansard. It becomes a public document. The text of the petition becomes public, and the number of signatures that were gained in support.
Right. Well, this is an important process to lodge a real legal petition, because, of course, I've seen so many different online petitions for so many things over the years, and it's always cluttered with fake signatures by Oscar the Grouch and Homer Simpson and useless things like that. So it's good to see a real legal petition that has the potential to actually make a difference in government. And that's, I think, an important thing for people to be investing their effort in, more than these Facebook type petitions. So for people who are interested in signing the petition, walk us through this step by step.
Okay, well, it's pretty straightforward. You just go to the website, which is www.thecrowhouse.com/savethenet.html. I've sent those details over to you as well. They might be on your site or something, maybe, for the viewers. Or
yes, in fact, I'll put a link to all of the relevant documentation in the documentation link for this interview, so people can click on the interviews tab on the left side of CorbettReport.com, and under today's interview, click on the documentation tab, and there'll be a link there to this petition.
Fantastic. Well, there's two downloads on that link, and the second one is for those that can help gather signatures from other people as well. The first one's got space for 4 signatures, so that's more so if it's just yourself and your partner or your family that are signing. And it has the mailing details on the first one. So if you are wanting to download the second one, I would advise that you download the first one too, so you've got the address there to send it back into. And just to add, we need to have those back by May 29th to be able to have this presented for the June 21st sitting.
Right. Okay. Excellent. So I would assume that this petition is only open to Australian citizens.
No, it's it doesn't matter where in the world you live, all signatures will be counted. So, you know, considering that Australia probably is a testing ground for imposing this type of infringement on a democracy, you know, other countries are only going to be soon to follow. So supporting this is, you know, sort of rejecting it now on its premise before it gets larger and starts to spread around the world. And I do believe that there are already plans in place for most countries, such as the US and the UK and Canada, the same types of filtering legislations.
Absolutely. Well, as obviously the internet connects us all, it also connects these types of problems, and whatever is being tested today in Australia will be implemented tomorrow in America and Canada and Japan and all the other countries that are looking to Australia as the test to guinea pig in this case. So absolutely, people have to get behind this type of effort wherever we can apply political pressure en masse. So I certainly hope people will at least check out the petition at thecrowhouse.com/savethenet.html. What other groups or actions do you have planned to protest the ISP filtering plan?
Well, I'm in support of and sort of jump on board with any types of rallies or protests that are organised that seem fairly legitimate. I'm not organising any protests. All my attention and energy and time is just going into this petition at the moment, along with our petition coordinator, Andrew Middleton. And we've self-funded this petition, and we've been lucky to have a few good people donate stamps and envelopes and spare printouts and all of that. We don't want money, we don't want anything, we just want people to sign it. And the petition encompasses so many different points on why censorship won't work, not just sort of the usual stuff, but also that, you know, it's going to affect businesses, that it infringes on human rights, so that's also mentioned a couple of times in the petition.
Yes, excellent. Yes, it is. There are some very good points there, and things that we don't often see when we're dealing with this type of issue. So certainly people should take a look and read it for themselves and sign up if they agree with the principles stated. Do you have any websites or contact details that you'd like to give out for people who are interested in following up on this?
Yes, absolutely. There is a few sites. One in particular, which Andrew is also a part of, he's the founder and one of the main organisers of stopfilter.org. That's an Australian-based site, and they recently helped to organise the protests over in Perth and Sydney and I think also Brisbane. And there's also a protest coming up on May 22nd, which is in Melbourne, and I've emailed you the links for that, so you may be able to pop those up on the side of the page or something.
Yes, I will. Again, those will be in the documentation section for this interview. So I certainly hope people will check that out. And Melissa Short, thank you very much for putting this petition together and to help spread the word about it. And it's such an important thing for people to apply political pressure where they can on issues like this. So my hat's off to you for the work you're doing, and best of luck.
Thank you. Can I just add a couple of things?
Please do.
Yeah, okay. Just recently we had Senator Conroy comparing TV and books to the internet. And, you know, he's sort of implying to people and insulting people's intelligence, of course, that is anything like, that TV is anything like the internet, for example. You know, TV and books are a one-way form of communication. They're passive tools. And, you know, we cannot communicate back with them. You're just a viewer or a reader. It's not interactive. And the internet has a multitude of platforms and functions. So when you're online and you're in the driver's seat, you can drive where you like, you know, you can watch what you like, when you like, but when you're watching TV, you're in the passenger seat, or when you're reading a book. And with the TV, it's all programmed and it's dictated to us. So what we get to see and when we get to see, the prepackaged and determined for us. And a lot of people are sort of buying that line and saying, oh, well, you know, I guess, you know, TV and books are classified, so the internet falls under the same category, but absolutely not.
Well, yes, clearly not. And what we're seeing is the governments that have so long, through their various regulatory agencies, enjoyed the privilege of filtering what we get to see and what we get to read, suddenly having to confront a medium which cannot be contained in that way. And they're trying to apply their same old regulatory procedures to these new media. And if we let them do it, then it will fundamentally affect the world that we're living in. So again, I urge people to cogitate on this issue for themselves and to join those groups that they think are being effective in helping to protest this. Well, once again, Melissa Short, it's a pleasure to be talking to people who are taking action in this. So thank you again, and thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much.